Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
When we hear of athletes less involved in water sports here in Ireland, you usually think of a swimmer, a sailor or a rower. Well, our next guest is a professional surfer and a very good one at that. Eastgie Britton from County Donegal, as I said a few minutes ago, was the first Irish person to surf the so-called Hell Wave in Tahiti when she was just 16 years of age. She's one of many influential people taking part in Goals Wellness Week. She's on the line now. Eastgie, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Matt. How's it going?
Not bad at all. How are you?
Yeah, great. I got a good laugh out of the electric skateboard
Listen, as a fellow extreme sport practitioner, you understand the thrills that you get on a skateboard, be it electric or otherwise.
Well, I tend to stick to water. I have an aversion to concrete myself.
Yeah, well, it's a bit sore when you fall off, all right.
Is it though? Like, I mean, if you smack down onto, I know you're not that high off. Well, you can be if you're coming down off a big wave. You're a big wave surfer. If you come down hard on the water, is it as hard as concrete?
Yeah, this is true. If you hit the water hard enough, you can feel like that. It's amazing how unforgiving water can be at times, even though it's so soft and fluid. I mean, my dad calls it things like skateboarding. He's a surfer as well. Sideshow. That you're injured and then means you can't go in the water. So the priority in my life has always been,
So he calls them sideshows. Okay, sideshow Dermot.
It's like any professional sports person who tries anything else. Often they'll have it even sometimes in their contracts that they're not allowed. You know, I know certainly footballers wouldn't be allowed to go on skateboards because their contracts would just prohibit it because it's too dangerous for your ankles or whatever.
Like. Well, Iski, tell us about this hell wave in Tahiti.
Wow, that feels like a lifetime ago. But it was probably what kind of opened the door for me into just the potential of the power of the ocean. It's a very famous wave, Tōpū, in surfing circles. One of the most powerful. But and I went there when I was 16 years of age with a group of other upcoming kind of surf girls from around the world. It was really, I guess, the beginning of my professional surfing career, which took me around the world, and I competed with the Irish surf team for about 15 years. And then in my 20s, got into big wave surfing, actually in Ireland. It wasn't until I came back home from my travels and spent more winters here that I realized actually, we've got some of the biggest, best, most powerful waves off the West Coast.
It's funny, actually, because I think outside of surfing circles, it's not very well known that the West Coast of Ireland does have incredible, particularly winter, surfing conditions.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of what's put surfing in Ireland on the map internationally are these big waves and just some of the performances from local Irish surfers as well. It's been phenomenal in more recent years. You know, Conor McGuire just last year kind of made news headlines all over the world, riding like the biggest wave that was ever ridden in Ireland over at Mullaghmore in County Sligo, over 60 feet. It's amazing. The limit of human potential that's being pushed in the water, and that's kind of what. So I've kind of taken my passion for the ocean and the sea into science and academia as well. I'm also a marine social scientist. And I've been looking at evidencing the impact of being in, on, or near water, particularly our mental health.
So,
a lot of big wave surfing is about the mental game and mental toughness and resilience. And how do you stay calm when you're in the face of this kind of huge challenge?
I'm so excited to talk to you about, you know, the moment when you are about to jump on a wave that is the hell wave or one of these monsters off the cliffs of Moher or Sligo or wherever else. Like, how do you approach that? So say you're sitting on the board, you go, okay, here we go, and you start paddling frantically. What goes through your mind then? What's the process of catching that wave and staying on it and staying alive?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a huge wave. I also feel like there's the sea itself kind of demands respect. It's so unpredictable, and often it's the smaller days too that catch you off guard. So it is about, I think for me, it's about how do you stay really present and self-connected so you're not stuck in your head. I think when we're able to drop into our bodies, we're much better able to respond in the moment from a place of calm rather than getting caught up in the sort of the worry script or the inner critic, as I call it, in our heads. And a lot of the work actually starts before you even get in the water. So it's about that kind of training the mind. In particular, there's amazing work done kind of initiated by a marine biologist called Wallace J. Nichols, and he wrote a book called Blue Mind about 5-6 years ago. And it's really the process that of training the mind in those situations. So blue mind state is training the mind to stay calm under pressure. And a lot of it is through kind of visualization practices, mindfulness-based practices. And then kind of recognizing, I suppose when you're in the water in those situations, you kind of shift between blue mind and red mind. So the red mind is that kind of the real spike in adrenaline that you need in response to like get yourself out of danger or, you know.
Yeah, all of those things.
Yeah, I don't know how blue mind I would be now, Iskri, at the top of a hell wave. I'd be flicking into red fairly sharpish, I'd say.
It's Today FM's Dermot Day. We're talking to Iskri Britton, professional surfer from Donegal. We had Wim Hof on the show there not long ago, Iskri, and he was telling us about, you know, the benefit of cold water, you know, methods that he has made popular throughout the world. And obviously with lockdown, there's been an explosion, certainly around the coasts of Ireland, of people going sea swimming. Do you have advice for people in terms of the water and the coldness and all that kind of stuff for people who are just getting into the water, maybe for the first time in a long time?
Yeah, well, just a couple of things to say on that. Again, I've been doing research with teams at NUI Galway, kind of looking at what's being called blue health or blue space. And it's just amazing how evidence now is really supporting that water environments and the sea in particular are among the most psychologically restorative of all environments, you know, kind of outdoor environments. So especially beneficial for our mental health. So it's no surprise, I think, we're being drawn to water right now and seeing so many people take up things like sea swimming. And then, of course, the flip side of that then is how do we build greater sort of, I suppose, awareness and understanding of the ocean? And so it's something I touch upon. I have a new book coming out in May called 50 Things to Do by the Sea. And it really is about better understanding the impact the sea has on us and also what we can do for it. So even simple things of like how to read the sea, things I grew up, I suppose, learning of like to identify different types of waves, the kind of, if there's a rip current. And then definitely with cold water, I mean, it's quite a shock to the system. And there's huge benefits, but it's really important to just build up that connection gradually. So like any kind of a relationship, you know, you have to establish a relationship with the water and get to know it, you know, before you dive straight in.
That's definitely good advice.
I'm intrigued about the professional the life of a professional surfer. And as you say, it's taken you all over the globe. And from the outside, it just looks like such a great way to make a living. How heavily do you rely on sponsors or prize money? Or how do you make your money primarily in the sport?
Yeah, I guess I've shifted, you know, and it was really difficult when from my late teens to my 20s when I was full-time professional surfing to get that kind of support, especially, you know, as a woman in the sport. There wasn't, like there is today, equal sort of prize pay and things like that. And then Ireland, we don't really have access to the same kind of surf brands or industries. But then in the last kind of decade or so, I'm an ambassador for a surf company, sustainable surf company called Finisterre. They just have an amazing ethos around their products and the surfing lifestyle. So we actually do a lot more creative projects like making films and sort of storytelling about our human connection with the sea through something that we love, like
that's
surfing.
That's really cool.
And so they're putting a lot of their kind of weight behind ocean conservation and raising awareness about that impact we have.
One of the reasons you're talking to us is because you're taking part in something called Goals Wellness Week. Will you tell everybody very quickly what that's all about?
Yeah, so Goal have this amazing event, Good Vibes, starting the last week in April. And it's just this amazing kind of holistic approach to health, week-long event with all kinds of speakers from, you know, Olympians like Ciara McGeehan, performance coach Pat Dively, there's chefs, sleep experts, yoga. And then I'll be there. I think my session is on the 30th on the Friday, and kind of really looking at a lot of what I've been talking about, that kind of blue mindfulness, so practical ways to reconnect with the ocean and how it can help calm and restore us, but also what we in turn can do for it. Because I think what really drives my work is an understanding that we can't be well in a sick sea. We're completely dependent on the health of the ocean. Whether we like water or not, it has an influence on
absolutely.
Us. You know? We are watery beings.
Well, goalglobal.org is the website to go and register there, and you can go and take part in the Good Vibes Wellness Week, April 26th, 30th. Iskri Britton, thank you so much for chatting to us. It's a fascinating chat today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Bye.
All the best. Bye. See you later. Bye-bye.
I just love talking to people like Iski, and just in particularly in really sort of high-end sporting environments. I just think these people, because they perform under intense pressure, we can learn so much from these people.
Absolutely.
You know, in terms of controlling our mind and actually building it, taking a technique that, yeah, maybe a pro surfer uses on top of a hell wave, but you could use it when you're just about to have a difficult conversation or go talk to your boss or give a presentation or whatever it is.
And you'll know that Iski comes from a line of achievers. She said her dad was a professional surfer. Her younger sister, Becky Finn, is a longboarder, and her older sister, Tahalia Britton, became the first female diver in the Irish Navy in August 2020. So a hell of a family of overachievers.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live, on air, from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.